What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the seniors. Rob Gray's here. What's going on, dude?
Well, we're back after both of us were on the road last week, enjoying ourselves, pushing our limits.
Yeah. How was Utah?
Utah was amazing. Highly recommended. Arches National Park. Did the Delicate Arch walk with my 10-year-old daughter, which is a difficult trail. There are spots where if you fall off, you're dead. She really wanted to do it, and I had to trust her. And it's kind of like a wide sidewalk in those spots, though, and it's very level. I mean, other than winding upward, it's a pretty good climb. Just a good grade, but just constant climb. But one of the iconic, you know, on Utah's license plates, they got that arch and lots of other arches and beautiful, desert landscape and canyon lands. Park City, Utah is just a gorgeous place with a lot of cool things there. Sundance Film Festival, obviously, as well. So, not going on now, but in the winter. But so, great trip for me, and it looks like you had a great trip to Colorado as well.
Yeah, we climbed Deer Mountain in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Okay. Did you need any mountaineering tools?
Yeah, we had some walking sticks.
Okay. Like real trekking poles? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we didn't. We had like a set, but we just used one.
Oh, okay.
Because Alex tried it out. We didn't see the benefit in the two sticks.
Okay.
So we each took one stick.
Okay.
And then we just had a pack. I think I ate a Cliff Bar. I guess that's some mountaineering materials.
Yep.
Water, of course. Yeah, that was about it. Beautiful view at the top.
Yeah, yeah. I saw some of your pictures.
Yeah.
We both got to see some beautiful views, so I'm happy about that.
Definitely. And then, obviously, the last couple of days, there's been a lot of news for Cyclone football. Chris has been killing it down in Dallas at Big 12 Media Days. Yesterday, they released the first depth chart of 2016 and Matt Campbell's tenure. There's not really a lot of surprises, though.
No, not really.
I mean, maybe some. But.
It's very similar. JUCO guys don't show up or they're second most of the time. All coaches are going to – hey, if you're going to give a nod to people that have been in the program a long time, you do it with that first step chart. And this is a unique situation, obviously, with the new coaching staff, almost entirely new. Spring football wasn't the same as it would have been if this is year three of Matt Campbell, as we know. I mean, there's a bit of a feeling out process, getting to know. That's part of the process. You hit the ground running in a sense – but you have to go over some things that you won't go over once you know your personnel really well. So fall camp, that much more important to sort everything out. And, not greatly surprised by anything on here. Just wonder how many times we're going to see, you know, the four different linebacker sets. Mm-hmm. I think we're usually supposed to see two of them much of the time if things go well. But, pretty standard stuff.
Definitely. I think that the offensive line is where – I think there's still going to be a lot of movement there by the time you and I rolls into town. We might not see another depth chart really before then.
Yeah,
we might
see
one more.
Yep.
But I think that it will probably end up being a lot different than this one.
I think so too. I mean, you've got to – I mean, this is – as much as, you know, decimated by graduation and people hanging it up and all that is the case. I mean, there's great opportunities for some of the younger players too. I mean, we saw Nick Fett go from a walk-in to having a great opportunity. Yes, in one game, but he made some blocks in that Oklahoma State game against some big guys.
Definitely.
That I remember turned my head, turned other people's heads. I mean, that guy could move people. So there's going to be some guys that probably rise up that we don't know a whole lot about. Well, we don't know a whole lot about a lot of these guys, but even guys that, I mean, you look at how inexperienced this team is. On that depth chart, I mean, who's your most experienced Iowa State player in terms of active starts consecutive? Jake Campos.
Right.
I mean, that's
He's coming off an injury.
And then we've also got injuries. So, you know, Alan Lazard missed a start. But then it's Brian Peavy. And on the offense, it's Campos and Lazard. Dondre Daly started 14 games, started four last season. I mean, you've got five guys with double-digit starts.
Yeah.
So that's the whole offense. So it's it will be very interesting. I think we'll need to do a two-part podcast when we try to break down the offensive line to really dig into some of the details on some of these guys that,
right.
again, haven't seen a snap yet. And not like they've been in camp, like Patrick Scoggins got hurt last year. We started to know things about him and write things about him and talk about him. But, yeah, that'll be very interesting. I mean, if that ends up being a good group, even an average group by Big 12 standards, I mean, Tom Manning needs another Assistant Coach of the Year award.
Right.
Because just the lack of experience should tell you that that's a group that's going to struggle, but they might not. There's some talent there.
And I think if they can be average, just average, that puts – I mean, I think they'd win six games.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just if they can be average.
I think that's what it all hinges on. If the offensive line can be average, even just slightly below.
Yeah.
Maybe they teeter-totter on that, or ride that line where one game they're a little above, one game they're a little below. Maybe they can have one game where they're great and one game where they're – bad.
Yeah.
But if they can just kind of toe that line, I think this is a team that can definitely make a push for a bowl game.
Definitely. What do you think about the addition of Brian Bobek? The former center at Minnesota and Ohio State.
That's an interesting one. You'd think, if you're recruited to Ohio State and you earn a letter, you can play football. There's no question about that. And then I think he's had a lot of injuries. But unlike some of the guys from Iowa State hanging it up because of so many injuries, like Daniel Burton, how different would this offensive line look if he came back for his, for another go?
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. So very intriguing guy. You know, he's got the body. You know, he's got the know-how. You know, he's experienced. I think he started some games last year, or at least was in a number of them before injury.
Yeah, so I think he started eight games.
Yeah,
eight games.
So that's a huge addition. But again, health.
Yeah.
And that's been the issue, the bugaboo for Iowa State on the offensive line and elsewhere, but particularly the offensive line the last 3 or 4 years for sure.
We're going to talk about wide receivers today, continuing our position breakdowns.
Yes, yes.
I feel like the logical place to start would be with number five.
Yeah.
If you haven't read Chris Williams' column from yesterday, get five the damn ball. Get on CycloneFanatic.com and read it right now.
I was in full agreement with that.
Yeah.
It was a lot of common sense, but a lot of good stats pointed out too in that fine piece by C-Dub. But totally agree. I mean, you look at last year, he doubled his touchdowns, say three as a freshman, six last season. But there was, as Chris hinted at in the column, you felt there could have been so many more touches, so much more. When both Sam Richardson and Joel Lanning clearly were wanting to target him, you could tell that. But again, the total number of sacks that they took, you kind of are dumping it wherever you can, or you're going down.
Right.
If they can keep the quarterback upright, again, be average that way. I see him pushing past. I'm going to say if they don't take 40 plus sacks, which they did last year. I see it as a very distinct possibility that Alan Lazard's junior season, he sets a single season touchdown record passing Bundridge, and Todd Blythe did it twice with nine.
I could
see 10, 11 touchdowns with him.
I could see it where his senior season, he could break all those records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's even possible this season, as long as there aren't enough sacks. Because
you're
going to target him. I mean, Chris is right, and you know that Matt Campbell quoted in that piece, said that's something you get in your mind about your star players. There was another receiver, I forget his name, at Toledo. And
Eric
pointed
Page.
Out, yeah,
Eric
his,
Page.
Pointed out his averages and how much higher they are than Alan Lazard. It only makes sense that should be a focus. Now, again, you're a run-oriented team, I think, but you're still going to have to take shots. And Lazard got increasingly good at being that guy you can take shots downfield with. A sure-handed guy who also can do something with. I mean, the punt return, you see a big guy like that and you don't think he's going to be slippery, and he was slippery and
definitely
pulled people and had some really, really, really nice returns. So future's really bright there, and you got to get him the damn ball, as Chris pointed out.
The receiving yardage record for a season is 1,073 yards.
Yeah.
I think that's reachable.
I do too.
Yeah. Lane Danielson holds that record.
Great. Great.
He was a subject of our countdown to kickoff today.
Oh, okay. I haven't gotten around to that one yet, but yeah. I will definitely check it out.
We couldn't find a picture of him, so we couldn't quite get it on the front page.
Oh, but that's too bad.
Yeah.
Definitely check it out, though.
Yeah, for sure. So then who do you see as, like, the number two guy in the receiving corps? Is it Trevor Ryan, or is it Dondre Daley?
I think by default it's going to be Trevor Ryan because he's going to be in that versatile M position, and you're going to have to get it to him. You want to get it to him in a variety of ways, and he's in that role that he's able to be the surprise, not the surprise, but there's the change up, there's this, the it's a de facto running play, but it goes for 8, 9, 10, 11 yards.
Right.
In terms of number, I think Dondre Daley is continuing, it's somewhat surprising to look at his name on the depth chart and see senior or redshirt senior next to it, just because he's been kind of that young guy on the cusp the last 3 years, it seems like.
Right.
And, you know, a little injury here and there, and obviously a lot of changes and tumult amid the program in the last few years. But I think he's going to be a good downfield threat, and I'm really excited to see a huge guy like Akeem Butler out there. And Carson Epps showed a few things last year. You've got a lot of guys in the program that have something to prove and are probably going to find their way onto the field at one of those three receiver. Darius Lee Campbell, the way he lists as the backup to Ryan at the M, you know, converted quarterback, as we know, but heard nothing but good things about him.
I think that Trevor Ryan, he's another one of those guys that's got that potential to make a big stats jump, like Eric Page. I think that Eric Page was more of a slot receiver like that.
Mm. Okay.
So I think that in Matt Campbell's offense, that guy's going to get the ball a lot. I mean, he's somebody that's targeted a lot, you know?
Yeah. And if you get good – I mean, if the tight ends can block – sufficiently,
yeah,
and you've got receivers, and you saw receiver blocking picking up last year. That's another kind of unheralded reason Mike Warren was able to lead all freshmen in rushing. His great ability obviously is the main reason, but downfield blocking was much better among the receiving core last season. And he's a guy with that track speed that can break it too. So it all comes back to that protection and that depth that you're going to try to develop on an inexperienced offensive line. But very exciting to think about what a lot of these guys can do.
And then I thought it was kind of interesting that they've got the or with Dondre Daley and Carson Epps.
Mm, yep, yep.
I mean, I think Epps showed that he can do something this year.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe it's to light a fire. Maybe it's because Daly's been that guy on the cusp. And
yeah,
maybe when they were scouting them when they played the last – couple years they were like, well, watch out for that guy, and then he'd have games where he makes a big catch, has a few catches, then he disappears. And again, there have been some health issues, and the lack of success really passing game for Iowa State. I mean, I was looking at the last year, I think it was 18 total touchdown passes, and in the Big 12 alone, Baylor had 44, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech were 39 and 38 range. I mean, teams like Indiana, I mean, yes, you're a Midwest team that's going to run the ball, and the Cyclones were most games successful running the ball once Mike Warren became the starter at tailback. But you gotta do more than half of what your teams 2 through 4 in your 10-team league are doing in terms of passing the ball. So it could be a breakthrough year. And again, Joel Lanning right now is set to be the beneficiary of because when you have that bell cow receiver in Lazar and you've got that versatility in Ryan, and you got a fire presumably lit under Dondre Daley, and then all these young guys that have size or speed or athleticism, some mix of that at your disposal, it looks like something big could be coming. But we've kind of said that the last couple of years too. You go back to having Bibbs at tight end. I mean, pro obviously. And a number of other guys, Bondridge, then got hurt. But, it's been a long time coming. So we're going to, keep our fingers crossed that it's really coming this time.
Well, it's crazy to think about what this receiving core would have looked like before all the attrition or Matt Campbell kind of sponging the program, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if DeVario Montgomery hadn't, gone astray, I guess, in terms of the whole, in terms of the program and how they got along. That's another big target you look at and say, wow, you know he's got ability. Where did he end up, you said?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know where he ended up.
Yep.
I'd heard that about some different places that he visited.
It's an afterthought at this point, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and again, I think Campbell just like any coach, he wants guys that he knows are, you know, attuned to the culture that he's right. trying to create.
And attitude and effort.
Yeah, the two biggest words, right?
Right.
And if you're a little bit lax in either category or any other subcategories, he'd rather have a young up-and-comer, you know, come in. As he mentioned, I think, yesterday, that there's a chance that some true freshmen will get on the field. And that's nothing new. It's usually one or two guys. But
right. And I think that, you think about, like, DeShonte Jones. He's a true freshman mm-hmm. that could find his way onto the
yeah.
field this year.
Yeah. There are a number of guys, you know, that I think could fit that bill. And when I look at this secondary depth chart, I'm just like, this is a – I mean, the secondary was – pretty solid last year, and it was building toward that the year before.
Right.
It's been one of Iowa State's best position groups in the last few years, but this is a truly legit, I think, secondary that can really finally start intercepting some passes this
yeah.
season.
If they can get some pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, that too. And I like some of the guys there. J.D. Wagner ahead of Justin Thomas, but you know Justin Thomas is going to see the field based on what
yeah.
he can do athletically, unless you know, unless there's some nosedive in another area.
I like J.D. Wagner.
What a motor guy, right?
Yeah.
You look at him and the name, and you think he's like some country western singer from the 70s or something. Now introducing J.D. Wagner. You know, he shows up. He's got the long lapels and all that. But wavy kind of long hair, but mustache. But there were plays he was almost every game last year, home game obviously, because
yeah.
that's pretty much all I covered. But it'd be a play and be like, man, look at J.D. Wagner,
yeah,
know, getting off that block or you know just beating some guy to the edge.
Right.
Very. And he's a great. It was fun interviewing him as well.
Yeah.
You know, so Pierre Aka, you know, is this a year for him? I mean, we're kind of going a field of wide receivers, but this defense, I'm more excited about what I think this defense can do than even the offense, because I think there are enough question marks when your offensive line is that inexperienced that,
mm-hmm.
yes, you see some of the playmakers that are on the field, but you also know that plays don't get made unless people get moved
right.
or dumped. I think this defense really, really has a chance to be, you know like a really solid Iowa State defense that can do some damage.
Definitely. I agree. I think that they got to figure out what they're going to do at that second safety spot by Kamari Cotton-Moya.
Yeah.
That's the only question I have about the secondary at mm-hmm. this point.
That's true. And you hope Cotton-Moya just stays healthy, obviously, but, got some interesting dudes that could slide in strong safety too. So, not necessarily on the depth chart. So, yeah. It's, you know, I think like most fans, this is a very, you know, transitions, you know, you know, nobody likes to see certain things happen and people no longer, you know, where they're at,
mm-hmm.
especially people that were well-liked. But it's always exciting when there's change, just to see what's coming up around the bend and who's going to emerge is kind of surprising.
Definitely. I'm excited for football.
Yeah.
I don't know about
Media
you.
Media day is only about 2 weeks, two and a half.
Isn't it 2 weeks
almost 3 weeks, yeah. It's the 8th, right?
It's 2 weeks from Saturday, isn't it? This Saturday?
I thought it was a Monday.
Saturday? In the words of Steve Prohm?
We'd better figure this out at some point. But we'll know. We'll know and we'll be there.
It's August 8th. It's 2 weeks from Saturday.
Okay.
Or 2 weeks from Sunday, something like that.
Yeah, it's getting close.
Yeah.
And I am indeed excited as well.
All right, man. We're only at 19 minutes, but I think we're good, aren't you?
Yeah, I think we've covered that. Just keep on reading your stuff. I'll still be in hibernation a little bit. I got one more trip to Minnesota coming up. And then we'll all be at it full force from Media Day onward.
Later this week, is going to be the big drop. You know that, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Completely revamped, redesigned.
Yeah.
Just like anything, we were talking about change, or you know, you're going to have to work some things out. Mm-hmm. But I can tell y'all that this is going to be you're going to like what you see.
Definitely. All right. I think that my new hot board is going to be my first post on the new site.
Nice. By
the
way. Yeah. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah. I think I'll finally be – I'll, like, really be able to utilize, like, all the new tools. Mm. Oh, I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited. All right, guys. Have a good week, everybody.